Hello, Richard Mortimer here from Niche Domination Life Training Class. And this is a bonus call on email marketing. Now, the interesting thing about email marketing is that people think, oh, hang on, email's a thing of the past, which in a sense is true. But the most important thing of all is that email is very controlled. You can control, you know, how people get onto your email list. You can control what you do with them and so on. I mean, obviously you don't get ultimate 100% control, but email is a lot more controllable than, say, a blog or Facebook or Google Plus or anything like that. So what we're going to do is just go through some of the aspects of email marketing as a sort of bonus to the main call, where I went through the various steps and the different kinds of emails and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to bring in my friend who lives locally, Trevor, who you've heard from before. And we're just going to sort of cover this. Obviously, the benefit of having Trevor here is that you get two minds rather than one. And although we are sort of building our business in the same way, we've come from different perspectives. And obviously, we've got different experiences. And also, we've got slightly different ways of doing things. And also, perhaps slightly different emphases as well. So I think this is a great benefit to you. So, hello, Trevor.
Good evening, Richard.
Thanks for coming on the call.
That's okay.
I appreciate the amount of effort you put in to help with this. So, because it's the third time now that I've troubled you and said, look, I want a bit of your brain tonight, please.
I've still got brain left, I think.
Yeah, despite the hot weather and various other factors.
Yep.
Yeah, but we're very motivated because Andy Murray won the tennis, didn't he? So that's kept our spirits up.
Sport, I don't really. I know exists. That's about it.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Very
embarrassingly, it was somebody on an American on Skype who told me that. He said, "Well done on Andy Murray." So I thought I'd better quickly go and look, see what happened, thinking he probably did win it. Oh yeah, look there, he did. He won it. So I Skyped him back and said, thanks very much for that. Great. Okay, so email marketing. Let me just ask you, how important do you see it?
I think it's still important. It's the days of having a list of millions of members and getting loads of response, I think, are probably gone.
Yeah.
Mainly because our lives are just getting more and, well, just busier and busier, and you just don't have time. But,
and also, I think people have been hammered, haven't they, by email?
Yeah, there's that. It's mainly that it's just only so many hours in a day. And also, the younger generation, who talked to one of my scouts, for instance, said, email, what's that?
Really?
Yeah, because they don't use it. They'll Facebook message people, they'll text them, but they'll use email once they get a job.
That's
but they haven't got a job yet. And they might have an email address at school.
Okay, so actually, there's quite a demographic thing which I've not considered here.
That's the younger generation doesn't use email primarily, but it's got to still be around. I mean, fax machines have only just stopped really being used, and that's a long time.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose the thing is about the younger generation is that we're not talking about people who've got the money to spend in perhaps every niche, if not most niches.
Yeah, but they're also kind of training some of their older parents, so it's easier to Facebook me, because obviously the parents won't be able to get hold of them by email necessarily. But that's an aside. I mean, the thing that I often see happen with email marketing is everyone says, oh, you want HTML emails and open rates and all sorts of different things like that.
Okay, so that's quite helpful, actually, because this is something extra from the previous call. You know, the main call. So just run that by me a little bit and just expand on that a little bit for me, please.
You can probably guess from my sales letters, I'm text-only emails.
Oh, that's interesting. That is very interesting. So what's the reason behind that, then?
I'd like to think, whether it works that way, that they're as though it's coming from a friend rather than whatever. If you tapped out an email to me, you're not going to go in and put all sorts of fancy fonts on it, are you?
No, that's interesting. I mean, I do use HTML,
I do the same to your subscribers.
Okay. So would you think that a text email with like a long link in it would be better than an HTML which looks like a text, but there you've got the link's actually got you know, it's a hyperlink rather than just a URL.
The only way is to test it, but again, if I was writing you an email, I wouldn't hyperlink the text. I'd just say click this link, wouldn't I?
Probably, yeah. That's interesting.
Probably have done. As soon as you start doing all the fancy stuff, it screams marketer.
Ah, right.
That's my view. I mean, it could be totally wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because, you know, Mal Flynn that I've mentioned, I think actually his name is something like M, it's initials, it's M-A-O, Flynn. But he's on the Warrior Forum and got very, very good products. They're nearly always, they're either software or most of them are PDFs, interestingly, because he does a lot of Kindle and that kind of stuff. But he has got a training on email marketing. I forget what it's called now, but I know he was talking about using HTML, and it is quite fancy what he does. And I think what he's doing is it's probably like a bit of psychology, like everybody knows I'm a marketer, so there's no problem being a marketer, and I'm going to make the most of being a marketer. And when I make the most of being a marketer, people see me as an expert kind of thing. I'm thinking off the top of my head here, but he does do a lot with HTML, and he has got a lot of links on the page. So like a lot of his other products are listed, if not all of them, and so on. And
yeah.
it's all quite coordinated, and, you know, definitely could be a marketing department, but probably just a marketer doing a good job.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's no single right answer.
No. But this is interesting, something for people to consider. And I think the important thing that you said is you need to test.
Yeah.
You know, when people are building their sequence of emails, you know, it's quite often the email you don't expect. You know, it's like with sales pages, it's the one that you don't expect to do well that does well. It's just the way things are. You know, you can't, the more you get into people's heads, obviously the more you can predict it, and probably you'll know then, when you really experience, that this is a good sales page, and you know what it's going to do, because you know your people, and you know what you're doing. But when you're getting going and you're starting, you know, things do really surprise you. And it's the same with the email sequence, is that you'll find, you know, oh, why aren't people opening that email? Well, there's something wrong. Maybe it's the headline. Change that. And, you know, okay, what's the headline? Because now it's back to what it should be, and so on. And then, you know, some email you work on and you just can't get a thing to perform, just take it out, put another one in, or you know, it'll sort of move up in your sequence. Just take one out. And, you know, all that thing has to be tested. And, you know, the rule of thumb is that your best emails go in the front end of your funnel, and the worst ones in the back end, if you can possibly manage it that deliberately. Have you got any takes on that?
And if you're going to test anything, definitely headline or subject line. The subject line in the email is the same as a headline on a sales letter or advert or anything else. And again, I don't know about you, but I'll go through and a load of the emails I get, I'll delete just based on the subject line.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm not alone on that.
No. I tend to just archive all my emails. I don't know why I do that. I ought to delete them, really, but I just archive the whole lot. So I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of archived emails.
I've got thousands and thousands in my inbox. I just don't. The number unread is just scarily high.
Yeah, no, I've got. I'm the same.
22,000 at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I archive those.
No, I don't. They're all filtered in my particular program.
Yeah, I think it's on. I think it's one Gmail account. I think it's 100. Is it? Maybe it's 15,000. Yeah, I think it might be 15,000 unread emails. And I was going to get my wife's secretary to go through all them at one point, but it doesn't really make much difference because it's quite an old email account, and I'm digressing here. But there are some important emails going in there, but I can find them by doing a search, so I tended not to bother.
Mm. You say you're digressing, but you've actually covered a very important point on emails.
Okay, thank you.
Not everyone signs up with their best email address.
No, that's true. That is true.
Especially on things like, I know you've been doing whatever it's called, the Matthew Olsen sort of ones where you're paying per link, forgotten what it's called, mine's gone blank.
The solo ads.
Solo ads, yeah. Especially on those, my guess is that they're probably emails that are reserved for a solo ad a lot of the time.
Actually, that might be the reason why that... You mean the people, the actual on the list?
Yeah, I've got numerous email accounts, and I kind of grade them.
Yeah, okay.
I'll use my personal email account for certain emails, and I'll use test ones for other ones, and I'll use ones that are completely throwaway and never get looked at for other things.
Okay, this is actually an important consideration to coming on to the next call, which is the free offer. And obviously, we tend to talk about squeeze page, but my feeling at the moment, my own marketing, I'm going away from the squeeze page, although I still use it and I still advocate it, and I still think it's an important tactic. But the good thing about a paid offer is, you know, this is the thing with the Warrior Forum, the paid offer is that when you get the email, you're more likely to get a decent email because people have paid money and they want to get the product.
Yeah.
And if they're logging in to get the product, then they're not, they're sort of, you know, the psychology is not, oh, I'm giving away my email address here, so I'm just going to give a junk one.
Yes.
It's more away from that. Yeah. I mean, what's interesting with Matthew Olsen's solo ads I've been doing is that he is as a buyer's list, because he does do a lot of WSOs. So he's got a buyer's list, and that might explain why I've done quite well with it. So that they are buyers, and therefore the emails are actually ones that are opened.
Yeah, you don't know too fast.
No, exactly. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, so let's talk about the funnel. What's your take on the funnel? You know, in other words, you know, email one, day one, day two, next email. You know, let's talk about it in those terms, just for sake of argument, without saying, okay, we need to have a bigger gap between the days and that kind of thing. We'll just assume it's every day one email. When somebody first comes onto your list, I tend to advocate content first, then interaction, and then provide products. Now, obviously, part of the content has been high-end offers, very, very high-end offers. I've got in my email sequence, I've got a $10,000 coaching program. And the reason for that is because I'm building credibility and trust. And obviously, somebody who's commanding that kind of fee is going to be more likely an expert in the niche. And that very high-end offer, which is genuine, but there again, it's not necessarily expected to sell in great volume, but it's there at the beginning to create a psychological effect with people, and that is that they think, oh, hang on, this guy's charges $10,000. I've underestimated him. I've put him in the wrong category in my mind. You know, that's just not how they think, but this is the outcome. And suddenly they're thinking of you, you know, in thousands of dollars as a marketer rather than in $7 chunks. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I've not actually got to that. I'm doing a little bit of that on my WSO stuff, but not enough. And on the Law of Attraction product I've just done the email sequence of 30 emails.
Oh, yeah.
As it stands, it's just going to point to the main page at the end of each.
Okay.
So those are going to be totally content. I'll probably change that at some stage, but that's the initial thing.
But okay.
That said, I think people do need to be... most of the time, we need to be sold on something, because there's just so many options. Or sold is maybe the wrong word. Convinced.
Yeah. And I think convinced is a good word, because it has the double aspect of content and selling. And actually, that kind of email, I think, is quite useful email, where you provide the content, but then you do actually pitch somebody at the end. And yeah, that's what
yeah, personal view is that I think that works quite well. There's a guy called King of Copy, who's a self-professed very good copywriter, as you might guess by his name, and he does that on each email. He does content, and then the end of it are two or three paid for links.
Okay.
Links that would cost you money to do.
Okay, interesting, yeah. Yeah, okay.
But again, there's no... It's what works for you, and if... Paul Myers is one guy that I regularly read, and he just sneaks his links in quite regularly.
Does he really? Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
Like a very laid-back approach?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. The more conversational kind of...
Yeah, very, very chatty. It's worth signing up for. It's TalkBiz, B-I-Z, I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
But
I do think I get emails from him. I think I've been on receiving emails from him for a long time, and he's, like, faded from my memory, apart from when you've mentioned him.
Yeah, he's one of the few that I actually regularly read his emails.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, there's not that many that I read. Sean's one. You're another. I usually open all your emails, so I hope it's not messing your stats up too much.
Yeah. No, I don't look at open stats.
You don't? No.
No.
And why is that, then? That's a good tip for people.
Partly because I'm lazy.
Okay. That's not a good reason.
partly because I don't trust them. That's the main reason.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And it's not a particular interest to you either?
No, it isn't, because, to be honest, I don't actually care whether they've been opened or not. I care whether they bought something.
Okay.
I have 1,000 opened, but if no one actually clicks through and buys a link, buys a product.
No.
What was the point of even looking at the opening?
No. The only thing is that does give you a guideline, doesn't it? If you had one email, let's just say you've got two emails next to each other in your sequence, and one is getting double the open rate, but it's getting half the sales of the next one. So you know that, in effect, the second email is selling four times as well as the previous one, because it's only half the open rate, so you have to double up to get the same number of opens, in other words, people reading it. And therefore, it's not just double the sales figure, it's four times the sales figure. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the first email headline is better than the second one, all other things being equal. You know, obviously there's a relationship in terms of the first one being second, and you switch them around, you might find the results a little bit different. But let's just go for this for a minute. And then, the first one's the one that's getting more opens, isn't it? And then the other one's getting more sales. So the email, the body, the copy itself of the email on the first one is nowhere near as good as the next one. So you almost want the headline from the first one and the body from the second one. If they were talking about the same thing, you would, and you could, but obviously they're not. But that gives you an indication, doesn't it?
It does. And you've just had your handful of words there, all other things being equal.
You mean that's a rather broad caveat?
It's a very, very big caveat.
Okay.
Because they never are.
I know, but you've got to go
on something. Last week was 4th of July in the States, so big holiday.
Yeah.
That would have a knock-on effect the day before, the day after, as well as the day of.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that has a knock-on effect elsewhere in the world as well. But if you've got... weekdays will probably be different from weekends, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I know they are on my site viewing stats.
Yeah.
Which means that if an email lands at a weekend, if it gets to someone on Friday night, but they don't open their email again till Monday morning, it's buried.
Okay.
And I know you can't totally control timing.
No.
So the all other things being equal, over time and over a large enough number, yes, it's statistically valid, but how many is statistically valid? Probably 1,000.
Okay.
Someone might tell you it's less than that, but there's so many variables involved, and that also assumes that the email got through in standard time, because it doesn't always.
Okay.
And didn't get filtered to spam. Minor other things like that.
Oh,
there's so many variables with email, and again, I've had to fish stuff out of the spam folder.
Yeah, true. That's
even,
right.
even from my bank.
People have said, oh, I've sent it to you, and you go, no. And then, oh, there it is.
Yep. So, yeah, it's just, there's so many variables. So, but yeah, headline, if you're going to change anything, headline definitely.
Okay. Okay. I ought not to read this email. I've just had a very encouraging email from Sean.
All right.
Just reading about my my solos. He says, don't tell anyone what you're doing.
No, that probably makes a lot of sense with solo ads, because it's a very very twitchy market.
Yeah, indeed. I think the thing is, he feels that I could capitalise by doing it myself without actually telling anybody what I'm doing. That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how people react hearing that on this call.
Yeah, hopefully you get some feedback on that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Ah, good.
But yeah, going back, headline, subject line, and subject line is the headline. That's the first bit, and then it's going to be the first. It's going to be the first sentence or two that basically, yeah, tells people whether or not they're going to go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you can monitor that, if you've got enough emails to monitor, if you only got 50 people on your list, you actually can't really test.
No.
You just have to go with gut instinct and ask them occasionally and hope that they're not going to tell you to go away.
Yeah. Okay.
After that, it is testing. And if you've got a house style line, the biggest advice I'd give is actually go through and check which ones you read and emulate them.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
you'll know, everyone listening to this recording will know which emails they go out of their way to read.
Yeah.
And you could probably count them, one or two people in that. Which ones that they read reasonably regularly, which ones they delete almost every time or just never read, and which ones they maybe even just filter to spam automatically.
Okay. That's very helpful, yeah.
If you go through your own habits, you'll then be attracting people who are similar to you, and hopefully they'll because of that, they'll buy off you. But be normal,
definitely.
Be natural.
Yeah.
And there's people having great success talking about their family, their dog, whatever else, because people actually are inquisitive. So again, it doesn't even have to be, you were talking about pre-sell and content, it actually doesn't have to be selling content or knowledge content, it could just be background information.
Okay.
Again, without testing, you really don't know.
No. At the end of the day, though, the first thing is to get an email sequence written, isn't it? And then see how it performs. You know, don't test and track one email.
No, I practiced what I preached on my latest WSO, and I actually wrote 30 emails out.
Exactly. That took
That took forever. That took not two solid days, but 2 days to get sorted.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't gone public and said that's what I'm going to do, I'd have stopped at around about 10 or 15.
Yeah, makes sense.
I know, because I've done it in the past.
Yeah. Okay, have you got any thoughts on length of email?
No.
Sean tends to like short ones, doesn't he, apart from content?
Yeah, I've responded to short ones, I've responded to essays, I've responded to points in between.
Yeah.
It comes down to personality. If you're boring, then even a sentence is probably too long. But if you can engage, it's exactly the same as, technically it's exactly the same as writing a sales letter.
Yeah. Well, this is the interesting thing, isn't it? This is where the copywriting is so important, because it isn't just about writing sales pages. It's also about writing emails. It's also about writing traffic-generating content.
Yeah, because might just be that. Or just favorite,
an article,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, an article really is a kind of sales page in a way, isn't it? It's more selling you than a product, but it's definitely doing a job.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what we're saying is content really is king. I was thinking today, I used to know a chap called Ron Holland. We called him Rocket Ron Holland until we met him. But never mind. Anyway, he turned up in white socks to a business meeting, which is rather strange. But
right,
anyway, it's quite funny, actually. He's a very nice chap. But he wrote a book, Talk and Grow Rich.
Oh, yeah, now, I've read that.
Have you? I don't know how many copies he sold. He did well off it. He got international speaking engagements, and he got asked to speak on it quite a lot. But his main thesis in Talk and Grow Rich, obviously, if you think of the title, is yeah. The orator is king. So he's saying it's words. It's how people speak, how they communicate. And that is what we're doing on the internet. It's not the same. The medium is different. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. We're communicating with human beings. We're communicating with one another, like we are tonight.
Yes.
And also to the people listening and taking the recording. You know, this communication going on, information and other aspects of human communication are passing, and it's having an effect, either a bad one or a good one. And obviously you're designing it to have a good one, and that's really what we're looking to do, isn't it? Is to make all our experience for people hitting our content to be a good experience and a relevant experience, and that's how you win.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned tennis earlier, and if your email was going out now, it's probably getting to be old news. We're Tuesday now, it was the weekend.
It's only me that's there's new news for.
Yeah, and a few other people, but give it a week's time and be something else.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So
exactly.
Topicality is awkward. So if you're writing an email sequence like I've just done, it has to be timeless.
That's
if you're writing out,
yeah.
If you're sending out a broadcast message, it can be
topical.
What's happened today.
Yeah.
And it should be.
Yeah. Okay, that's a very good point. Thank you, Trevor. That's a point I've not thought about before. That is so important. So timeless for sequence, unless you always changing it, but that's not likely when people are getting going, is it? Until
yeah.
They're a top flight marketer with a lot of admin staff and people to help. But timeless, in other words, it has to be kind of information that is relevant yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want one today saying Merry Christmas.
Whereas broadcast, you're more able. It's not dismissing timeless, but that's where to be topical in the broadcast.
Yeah.
So what's your advice to people on balancing the broadcast with the sequence?
Lots going to be down to your temperament. If, as I said, it took me ages to write the 30 emails for the product I've just done.
Yeah.
So if you know that's not you, but if you know you're quite happy just writing one email most days, go with broadcast every day.
Oh, yeah.
So it's what suits you. Your customers, if they're well written, people on your email list won't know in theory whether it was one that was pre-written or one that's written just this minute.
No. And if you're taking...
If you write them badly, they will.
Yeah. But also, if you're following Sean's model, which basically his sequence is cyclical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's all geared up to the product launch, which, of course, is what we're really teaching in this series, it's all about launching your own products to your list. That's why this model works well, because for two reasons. A, that you're creating products fast, and you're creating them according to people's needs. But then also, because you're marketing them to your list who already know you, your sales letters haven't got to do so much work. And that's why the whole thing works. And obviously what you're doing is you're creating a product, you come out with it, and then you do your, you know, you talk about it, maybe even before you've made it, like you did with your current WSO, and then you perhaps come up with questions and answers and you launch it, and then you maybe have scarcity built into it. And obviously if you're doing it on a broadcast basis, it's quite easy to do that. Is you can have a link, you know, like put a folder next to the product name, and you put an extra page in there with a discount, and then you just take that page down when your time is up. And that's quite a good way of marketing, actually.
Yeah, so it comes down to how disciplined are you? Because if you know you're actually not going to write, if you know that you're not going to write the sequence of emails and you know you're not going to do a broadcast, then you're going to need to work a different way of doing it completely.
Definitely, definitely.
Which could be Twitter, it could be LinkedIn, it could be anything.
Yeah, yeah. But even then you've got to post, haven't you?
Yeah, so you need to work out and be honest with yourself or get an honest friend to tell you whether they think it's actually going to, whether you're actually going to do it.
That's interesting. You don't think it's better just to say, look, make yourself do it. Just write an email a day. Do it. Get up,
do you get up half an hour earlier.
Get up half
an hour
earlier.
Do I do that?
No.
Every single day?
I'm not talking about what people are following me. They should do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah, that's in real life.
I know, Trevor.
It's why...
But the thing is...
A robotic one is probably worse, because you know it's not really human.
Well, I know, but the thing is, at the end of the day, success on the internet is about content creation. The one who creates more content stands a better chance of doing well and dominating their niche.
Yeah.
The one who doesn't create content has got no chance.
Yeah.
So you've got to do it. And email is quite a good way of producing content, actually, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. And quite often what I've done with emails is make them do double duty.
Oh, yeah.
So if I find that I've got on for 400 or 500 words, that's an article as well, and that can go up as an article.
Definitely, definitely.
Either on one of my blogs or on Easy Articles or wherever.
Well, that's the great thing about an email, because an email is not public, you know, it's not publicly seen, so it's not Googled. You can't Google an email. It's
and
private.
Realistically, if they come across an article and most people have read a book more than once or occasional book more than once, or you go back to a newspaper and you'll read the same paragraph 2 or 3 times because you forgot you read it.
Definitely.
So if it's 2 or 3 weeks hence, there'll be a dim recollection that you might have read it before or you might not.
Well, it happened to me. I read a couple of articles in a newspaper, and I felt that the person was misunderstanding the situation at the current time, and I was quite stirred up about it, so I wrote a letter, and this was several years ago, and I went to a friend's house yesterday to help him, because he's quite an elderly person, and he was wanting to put some boxes up in his attic, and he pulled out this letter for me, because I gave him a copy of it, and he said, look at this, and I knew I'd written a letter, but I couldn't remember what I'd only generally remembered what I, and that's something I wrote.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting going back to it, and I really enjoyed reading it again. It's like I was reading it afresh.
Yep.
You know.
I thought,
so that just proves it, really, doesn't it? I mean, that was even something of my own. So that just shows you do forget.
Yeah, I do that with films. At about 5 years, I need.
Oh, yeah.
Before I can watch a film and basically not have remembered very much of it.
Interesting.
Which is digressing, okay. But it works with emails, and you could probably go around on a loop every 30, 60, 90 days, and most of your list wouldn't notice, because they wouldn't, then, much as we'd love them to read every single word of every single email.
They don't.
No, because we don't.
You could just change your headlines, couldn't you? Just change your headlines.
Yeah, I've seen people do that.
If you felt that was ethical, you know.
Yeah. Well, if it's a difference between... If what you're selling is ethical, then it's the difference between getting your email read and not read, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, it's interesting what you're saying about broadcasting. I'm going to give out loud what I'm thinking right now about my own business. And because I'm doing these regular Q&As, and at the moment, obviously, I'm combining them with the Niche Domination product, which is very easy to do, that means I'm doing a lot of broadcasts, because I'm announcing the call to two lists, and that's 2 or 3 emails to two lists, so that's 6 emails, possibly 4 to 6 emails before the class goes out. And then there's the recording, and that might be, well, that might be 2 more emails. So I'm writing 8 emails every week anyway at the moment, broadcast.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, hang on a minute, I ought to do more broadcast than sequence at the moment. And I think that fits in quite nicely with the product thing, isn't it? And then what you can do is you then depending on how it performs, you then organise those products in your autoresponder. And basically the ones that perform the best you put in the front end, and the ones that perform the least well you put in the back end.
Yeah.
And but then you space it. If you're disciplined enough to do the broadcast, you don't quite have quite so many emails in there.
Yeah, I know that makes sense. And again, you'll get people unsubscribe, but you'll get people unsubscribe anyway. It's
the
just
thing is,
a fact.
There's a psychological thing about that, because I think people, oh dear, I don't want all these unsubscribes. Well, why are they unsubscribed? They don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, I'd much rather someone unsubscribe than delete it, but I'm sure that both happen.
Yeah, they basically don't want to buy your product anyway, so they're better off your list. You know, that's part of the winnowing process for your list, isn't it?
Yeah,
definitely. Unsubscribes are not a thing to think is a bad thing. It actually should welcome it. Obviously, if everybody unsubscribed, well, you're making a mistake, frankly.
Well, yeah.
Because people don't, do they? You know. I mean, what you get three kinds of email or people on your list. You get people who never open them, which is the worst, because they're just sitting there on your autoresponder. And then you've got people who unsubscribe, and you've got people who open and read and buy. And that's it. Those are the only three people you've got.
And the other thing with autoresponders is to remember that you're pretty much stuck with the first one you go with.
Yeah, that's true, actually, isn't it? Yeah, that needs to be a good choice, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the two main ones are AWeber and GetResponse. They seem to be the ones that most people use, but I've certainly had ones where you get people saying, can you resubscribe, please? I've just changed, and you're thinking, can I be bothered?
No. No. No, I think once you, like you say, once you've got a subscriber, I mean, obviously you can move, I mean, for instance, I could do that. I could move my AWeber people to my GetResponse account, because my GetResponse account is the one that I'm using. But... Yeah.
You probably couldn't do it the other way around.
Is that right? That's interesting.
AWeber seemed to... Well, I'm not... Don't hold me to that, but AWeber seemed twitchier.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you're right, because they are the market leader, aren't they? And that usually is the rule of thumb. Like, EZN Articles is the most twitchy article directory, and Warrior Forum is the most twitchy... forum in internet marketing and so on.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's understandable. Yeah, okay. Right, is there anything...
Yeah, definitely don't go with something like MailChimp that...
Oh, dear, no.
Yeah.
You'd be a chump to go with MailChimp.
Well, they're not into internet marketing anyway, but it's not recommended. But
No.
Well, it has its uses. If you're running a single site for your business locally, it'd be fine because it works.
Yeah.
But for an internet marketing business, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, okay.
And you can go right, really top-end and get something like Infusionsoft.
Definitely.
Which is quite expensive, but very, very good if you need it.
Yeah, it's the guru one, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part owned by Dan Kennedy, which means it's not going to be cheap.
Okay.
And it means it's going to be favourable to marketers, but it also means that it's a very high learning curve, and most beginners don't need it. Yeah.
No, and even most marketers, like, you know, the work-at-home marketer. I mean, I know Sean uses it, but then again, his model's very simple. I'm part-time, so learning things. I mean, I actually got irritated with GetResponse recently, and I gave them... I was a bit unfair, to be honest. I was being a bit reactive, but I got on the call... you know, the live chat, and I said, what are you doing? I said, I want the old one back. It was when they switched from what they called, let me think now, how did they call it? They call the broadcast newsletter, and they call the follow-up. Yeah, the follow-up. They switched to calling it an autoresponder. It's basically the same thing. Why they changed the name, I don't know. But anyway.
A lot of it's change for change's sake.
I went in there to do an email, and it was an absolute nightmare working it out. Now, I could see there were training videos, but I thought, why have I got to go and learn training videos? I just want to be able to do the email like I did before. And I was getting irritated. How do I get back to the old one? Well, you can't. Well, what have you done with it then? You know, we've worked it out. We've we've migrated to this new. What? I said, look, I'm paying this much money. I've got this many subscribers. You can't do that. Just suddenly change everything. And she said, it's very simple. And I thought, well, it isn't, and I do know what I'm doing, and it isn't simple to me. And I was really getting irate. And when I actually looked at it, it wasn't too bad. But that's the thing, you know. It's like when somebody changes something, you've got to learn it again. And there was a learning curve.
Or take a view that you're going to choose something else. And Microsoft are running that risk with Windows 8. We digress.
Okay. So what's the risk there? Just in maybe the principle we could take away.
They're being held responsible for a roughly 1 in 6 drop of new PC sales because people don't want Windows 8. Because they don't want to they've spent the last decade learning roughly the same Windows interface, give or take, since probably Windows 2000.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's all changed because they want it to work the same on a tablet.
Ugh, dear, oh dear. So this is being market-driven by...
This has been market-driven by Microsoft, not by the market.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not market-driven, really. It's more boffin-driven.
Sometimes it's change for change's sake, but again, that applies to emails. If it's working, don't fix it.
Yeah, definitely.
If it's not working, obviously take the time to work out whether it's... Sometimes it may just be it's not congruent between how your list was acquired and therefore what they're expecting
and then what you're actually delivering
afterwards. And if over time that can drift.
Okay, Trevor, that's very, very helpful there. I'm just going to come in here and just say something there, just to emphasise what Trevor said there. Because basically, when your funnel isn't working, and this is the whole thing, this is the downside of this model, you know, the plus sign of this model we're teaching you is that all the skills are the main ones that you need really to be an expert in the niche. You maximise your traffic, so in other words, you maximise your profit from your activity with this model. But there is a lot to learn. You know, with affiliate marketing, you've just got to learn traffic, really. I mean, there are other aspects, but if you can learn one or two traffic sources, you can get into affiliate marketing with this. You need that, and you need the copywriting and the emailing and all that kind of thing. So you need to stand back, and your whole funnel's got to work. And you need to be able to stand back and look at it and think, okay, where's it going wrong? I mean, the biggest way that people who are actually action takers, and obviously there's a lot of people who don't take any action at all, so we're not even talking about them. You know, they can't expect to have a business if you don't take any action at all. But people who do take action, quite often what they do is they've got an idea in their mind that they want to put upon their subscribers. So they've got a website idea that they've not researched, or they've not asked anybody whether this is what they want, and they're just imposing it on their people and hoping that it'll do well for them, which of course it probably won't. But in this model, you're asking your people. But then getting the funnel to work is actually quite hard, getting all the pieces together. So you've got to stand back sometimes and look at it and think, okay, where is it going wrong? What have I got to work on? What do you think of that, Trevor?
Yeah, but sometimes you haven't got much to go on either, because most people that aren't responding aren't actually going to tell you why they haven't responded.
No, of course not. No, that's true. You've got to guess.
Even if they knew why. Again, go through your email box and try and work out why you actually didn't buy everything that you got offered to buy.
Okay. Very interesting.
Or wander around the supermarket, 30,000 lines, you're going to have 20 in your basket?
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't you buy the other 29,980?
Yeah. It's not always price, is it?
No. actually, that's probably quite a good analogy, because number of lines in the supermarket versus number of emails you get, probably not much different.
No, that's true. That is true, yeah.
You're going to wander down and it's what grabs your attention that day.
Yes, yes.
And the same thing may not grab your attention the next time. You'll maybe rewatch a film or reread a book that you read 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you thought was fantastic. You're looking at it now and thinking, why?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and
Or you dig through your record collection.
There can be very good. There can be like outside factors. For instance, if you were somebody who attended to buy. I mean, you know, my wife shops quite cheaply. We're not too bothered. I mean, it's interesting. Tesco, which is a big supermarket in Britain, they, as you know, Trevor, they've got the value line, and we quite often buy the value products. I mean, some of their things aren't very nice. You know, like, I'm trying to think of an example, but it's something that it looks like it's not cooked, you know, it's like biscuits, are sort of, it just like don't resemble what they're supposed to. But then the orange juice is really, really good. And things like that, you know, the gammon joint, absolutely brilliant. So why buy the more expensive one? You know, the only difference is it's not got the packaging on it.
Yeah.
Not got all the colourful, branded kind of packaging or Tesco special sort of packaging. So quite often we will buy Tesco value and be perfectly happy with it. But then if you've got a guest coming or something, it's a different story, isn't it? Because your priorities change.
Yes, you need to give people reason, very often reason to back it up, back up the buying decision.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it comes back to, again, what we're saying about the sales page. Of course, it's all linked. The emails is all leading into your sales page, so that's very important that, you know, there's not a disconnect between the two. Your product offerings, and obviously we're talking about the sales page, that's what people are going to see, that's what they're going to respond to. But the point is that people want to have the idea, and correctly, that what they're getting is greater than what they're paying. So that the value is greater than the monetary value that is being paid.
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily by throwing a load of products at them.
Not necessarily. Sometimes less is more.
Definitely. Definitely, yeah. Okay, great. Any other nuggets for us, please?
No, I think we're getting close to time as well. So.
Yeah, we definitely are.
Yeah.
Okay. That's superb. Great. Thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you for taking the time.
That's all right. And, thank you.
I hope everybody has benefited from the call. And I look forward to speaking next week on our free offer, which obviously is the entry point for people coming in to our funnel. It's a very important step, again. So listen out for that. Look for the notifications for the calls. And look forward to seeing everybody on the call next week. Thanks very much. Bye for now.